You know, guilt is probably the most paralyzing emotion you can experience. I once read a study that said about 50% of people who are sick in the hospital right now could go home if they could get rid of their guilt. In my experience as a pastor, I've found that a lot of people are dying to hear these three words: you are forgiven. But you know, those words are hard to hear if you really believe in a world of randomness, if your worldview is based on an uncaring universe, if you don't have a creator who made you for a purpose, designed you to love you, and offers you grace even in your worst moments. On the other hand, if you build your life on the Bible and you let God's point of view become your worldview, you're going to live a life of forgiveness and grace. You're going to ask forgiveness, you're going to offer forgiveness, and you're going to accept forgiveness. I'm Rick, and I hope you'll join me today on Daily Hope as we look into the Bible to understand God's view of you. God's worldview will make a world of difference in your life.
Today on Daily Hope with Rick Warren, we continue in a series called Reframing Your Worldview, and this is part one of a message called How Do I Know What's True? It's taken from various portions of Scripture. And now, Pastor Rick.
In a national poll last month, 70% of Americans expressed concern about the, quote, decline in moral values in our society. I asked my researchers to do a little research on it. They came back with about 350 articles on this issue, decline in moral values in society, just written in the last year. There is what we would call a crisis of credibility in our nation. And that is, you can find corruption pretty much everywhere. You can find it in politics. You can find it in business. You can find it in sports. You can find it in academics. You can find it in entertainment. You can find it in churches. You can probably give me an example of a scandal in every major sector of our society. Now, what is the cause of this, quote, decline in moral values? Well, I can say it in two words: truth decay. Truth decay. Jesus said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Right. Freedom comes from truth. The more you know the truth, the freer you are in your spirit, in your life, in your family, whatever. The opposite is true. The more you give up on truth, the more you forfeit your freedom. Now, I intentionally chose this phrase, truth decay, because I think it exemplifies what's been happening in our society for the last 50 years. Slowly, little by little, imperceptibly at first, there has been an erosion of the value of truth in our society. We don't value truth like we used to. And if you don't stop that erosion, just like on your teeth, when it first starts, you don't know what's happening, you don't feel it, you can't see it, but that tooth decay is happening, and if you don't stop it, you'll lose your smile. You'll eventually lose your teeth. And the same is true if we don't stop the decay of truth in our society. We have all kinds of problems are going to happen, even greater than the ones we're facing right now. The past 50 years, there has been a shift away from truth as the foundation of our society. 40, 50 years ago, people generally agreed on what is right and what is wrong. And if people didn't even do right, at least they knew right. They knew what they were doing was wrong. Now today, many people claim they don't even know the difference between right and wrong. A lot of people even claim there's not even such thing as truth. How do you even know there's truth? Maybe truth for you, but not truth for me. So there is no right or wrong. I was shocked this week when I read about a jury that deadlocked and they had to dismiss a case over a woman who cut off the arms of her 18-month-old baby. Shocking, isn't it? In America. And they deadlocked, the jury deadlocked, because they said this woman didn't know the difference between right and wrong. Can you imagine that even happening in America? I was shocked when I read it. I just couldn't even imagine that happening. That a jury would deadlock over a woman saying, well, I don't know the difference between right and wrong. Now, this idea that there is no such thing as truth is called postmodernism or relativism. And here's the big idea behind postmodernism. What's true for you may not be true for me. And what's right for you may not be right for me. Now, that's a very convenient philosophy because it means I can do whatever I want to do. It basically lets me off the hook, says there is no objective standard of behavior, and I can do whatever I want to do. Now, when Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, he's talking about the truth will set you free. Not a truth, not any truth, not the truth you make up for your own agenda, and I make up my own. That's not the truth that sets you free. It is the truth that sets you free. Last week, we talked about, when I began this series on worldview, about the sincerity myth. The sincerity myth says, well, you know, it really doesn't matter what you believe, if at least you're sincere. That's all that matters. And we talked last week about this in pretty much detail, that you can be sincerely wrong. I've been sincerely wrong many, many times. If after this service, you decided to go out here and get on the toll road, and you went up what you were thinking was the on-ramp to the freeway, but it was actually the off-ramp, you could be sincere about it, but you'd be sincerely wrong. And you would head into traffic, and inevitably, you would cause a collision. And there would be damage to your car, and most likely to you, because you were sincere, but you're sincerely wrong. And if you were going up the off-ramp, thinking it was the on-ramp to the freeway, you're sincere. And some irate driver coming off the off-ramp says to you, wrong way. Don't go this way. Wrong way. It'd be kind of silly for you to say, now who are you to tell me what's the truth? I mean, it may be right for you, but it's wrong for you, but it's right for me. See, postmodernism, relativism, is built on the idea there are no absolutes. Have you heard this one? There are no absolutes. Now, that is absolutely a stupid statement. Because it's not only illogical, it's unreasonable. First place, when you say there are no absolutes, you're making an absolute statement. So it's illogical. Whenever somebody says there are no absolutes, I want to say, are you absolutely sure? Because you're actually stating an absolute. It is an illogical statement. Not only that, it's just unworkable. It's unusable. It's irrational. Because the entire world operates on absolutes every single second of the day. When you go into a pharmacy to get a prescription filled, you don't say, well, just give me anything. And the pharmacist doesn't say, well, I didn't have what you wanted, but this is kind of like it. And it'll do good. You know, I know it's for your back, but this is a good thing for your head. You know, you want the pharmacist to give you absolutely the correct prescription in the right dosage. And you don't want anything kind of true. You want it to be absolutely true. When NASA shoots a rocket off, they don't want to go near the moon. You know, close but no cigar. They want to hit the planet. They want to hit the moon, and they want to have it directly online. And there are thousands of absolute corrections that have to keep it on course. I mean, what if the law about stop signs was, you don't have to absolutely stop. You just stop when you feel like it. Well, no. Can you imagine what traffic would be like if we had no absolute traffic laws? What would that be? Total chaos. The whole world, every single day of your life, operates on absolutes. I mean, have you ever had to appeal to an objective standard when you were playing Scrabble? And somebody comes up and says, I'm telling you, Snickelfritzer is a real word. It's worth 57 points. And you say, I'm sorry, I've never heard this. Well, it may not be true for you, but it's true for me. It is a word. I use it all the time. And so what you do is you appeal to an objective standard called the dictionary. And if it's not in the dictionary, it's not a word. No matter how many points you thought you were going to get for it. Now, in postmodernism and in relativism, what's happened is that people now value tolerance more than they value truth. The supreme value in our culture has become tolerance. It's more important to be tolerant than it is to be truthful. In fact, if you are truthful, then you are considered intolerant. And how dare you say that something is always right and something is always wrong, because that's intolerant. And that's being judgmental. And actually, we have even redefined the word tolerance. Tolerance used to mean we may totally disagree on something, but I still treat you with respect because you're a human being. You're made in the image of God. And although we may totally disagree on politics or morality or all whatever, we're still going to treat each other, you know, politely. That's tolerance. Now, the word now means, tolerance means all ideas are equally valid. Well, that's nonsense. All ideas are not equally valid. If I say the moon is made out of rock and you say the moon is made out of Swiss cheese, that is not an equally valid idea. And if I say the sun rotates around the earth and somebody else says the earth rotates around the sun, those are not equally valid ideas. And if I say the earth is flat and you say it's round, those are not equally valid ideas.
That's Rick Warren with a portion of today's message called, How Do I Know What's True? It's from the series Reframing Your Worldview, and we're going to continue with more in just a moment. But first, please be sure to check out rickwarren.org. At rickwarren.org, you can sign up for Pastor Rick's free Daily Hope devotional. And thousands of folks just like you have done that, and they've benefited from Rick's personal and practical emails every day. So please sign up and be encouraged. And while you're there at rickwarren.org, you can listen to his latest message, connect with him on Facebook and Twitter, or just shop our online store. It's packed with resources to help your walk with God. Find us online today at rickwarren.org. There's more Daily Hope with Rick Warren in just a moment.
The book entitled The Good Life by Pastor Rick's friend and mentor, the late Chuck Colson, asks the hard existential questions like, is there absolute truth? Where do we come from? What does it mean to live a good life? And more. In this revised version, Rick teamed up with Chuck and laid out 6 truth-filled, easy-to-follow lessons that will sharpen your Christian worldview, motivating you to live out your ministry of service and your mission to an unbelieving world. The Good Life by Chuck Colson is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Daily Hope radio broadcast. Request your copy when you call 800-600-5004 or visit rickwarren.org.
And once again, here's Pastor Rick.
Truth is not new. It has been around forever. Now, we discover it like genomes. We now know that we're made up of DNA, but that's not a new truth. It's just new to us. God knew it all along. And so truth is something that's discovered. But today, if anybody dares to say this is always right, then they are accused of being intolerant and judgmental. It's not judgmental to tell the truth. If you're in an accident and I come by and I'm in the car and I see you and you're laying on the side of the road bleeding to death, and I walk up to you and I say, man, you need a doctor. You're bleeding to death. You're not going to say, well, I don't want to hear that. You're being judgmental. That's not judgmental. It's just the truth. You're bleeding to death. You need help. We're going to look first at the damaging effect of truth decay in our society, in our families, and actually in our personal lives. What it does to our personal lives when we let go of truth. And then we're going to look at the 5 ways that you can know the truth. So what happens when we throw out truth for tolerance? When all of a sudden we value tolerance more than the truth? Well, all kinds of things happen. Then there are actually 6 signs of truth decay. You can see them in our culture, you can see them in business, and actually you can see them in your own life. These things happen when you start giving up on truth. Number one, if you want to write this down, immaturity. Immaturity happens when we give up on the truth and we value truth more than tolerance, or tolerance more than truth. You know, in many ways, our society is getting more and more immature. You can see it on television shows. And one of the ways you can see it is we are less willing to accept responsibility, which is a mark of maturity. You see, when there's no right and wrong, when there's no standard of true and false, then we all act in irresponsible ways. I'd just be a kid. I can act like a juvenile. I can blame other people for my problems. There's no right or wrong. I can be disorganized. I can pass the buck. I can expect other people to take care of me, which is what immature kids expect. I expect the government or anybody else to solve my problems because I'm not responsible. That's immaturity. I can change my mind. I can one day believe this and one day believe that and the next day believe something else because there is no truth. The Bible says this in Ephesians 4. Let us be no longer like children, forever changing our minds about what we believe because someone else has told us something different or has cleverly lied to us and made the lie sound like truth. Makes you think of the rumors you believed in junior high school. One person would tell you one thing, and you believe that till somebody else told you something else, and then you believe that till somebody else told you something else, and the gossip went on and on and on. Have you ever noticed how often teenagers change their minds? Even in just getting dressed? Have you ever noticed the chaos in a nursery? Have you ever worked there? Why? Because they can change their minds all they want. All you do is change the diapers. Do preschoolers automatically keep their rooms in order? No. Why? They're immature. They're irresponsible. Well, when we become as a society like that, here's what happens. Look up on the screen. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, verse 18, a nation without God's guidance is a nation without order. Why? Because we're acting immaturely. You see, the ability to know the difference between right and wrong is a mark of maturity. It's what every parent hopes for. As you're growing up, your parents wanted you to learn the difference between right and wrong. So they didn't have to tell you. So that you on your own could make decisions going, I know this is always true, and I know this is always wrong, and so I'm going to make the right decision. Now in each of these areas, I'm talking about society, but I want to make it personal too. So let me give you a question to write down. This is a question about immaturity. Ask yourself, where or when do I act childish? When do I act childish? When do I tend to be irresponsible? When do I tend to pass the buck? In what areas of my life do I tend to blame other people? Do you blame other people for your own unhappiness? You're as happy as you choose to be. And when you blame others, you are being irresponsible. And that is a mark of truth decay. Number two, not only immaturity, but immorality is a mark of truth decay, immorality. Now, when I say the word immorality, most people think of sexual immorality, but that's only one kind. Immorality just means no morals. It means I do whatever I want to do. And if there is no standard of right or wrong, then anything goes. The Bible tells us back in the book of Judges that there was no king. There was no ruler in Israel, and it said everybody did what was right in their own eyes. In other words, everybody did their own thing. Sounds like our culture today. If there's no standard of right or wrong, anything goes. And if there's no truth, then I become the center of the universe, and I get very concerned about my self-involvement. I'm preoccupied with me. I'm self-centered. I worry about my pleasure, my goals, my getting ahead. And I don't really care about anything else. The Bible says this in Ephesians 4:19. They don't care anymore about right and wrong, and they have given themselves over to immoral ways. Their lives are filled with all kinds of impurity and greed. Say, I don't care what God says. If there's no right or wrong, I'm just doing what I want to do. I mean, if God says sex is only for marriage, well, I'm sorry. God says that. I'm going to make up my own truth. I'll do what I want to do. So how do you know when there's truth decay in your life? Here's the second question. Write it down. What am I trying to rationalize? What am I trying to rationalize in my life? And I'm not talking just about, you know, obvious sins, but just, am I trying to rationalize my lifestyle that I'm too busy, that I don't take time to exercise, that I don't spend enough time with the kids? What am I trying to rationalize? And I do the yeah buts. Yeah, but. That is a sign of truth decay in your life. Sign of truth decay. Immaturity, immorality. Here's a big one, number three. Unreality. Unreality is a sign of truth decay. When people stop believing in truth, you know what? They'll believe anything. I meet people who are more likely to put faith in a crystal than in God. They put their faith in crystals. It's just a rock. And they're more likely to trust a rock than Jesus Christ.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with Daily Hope. In a moment, Rick will share a closing thought, but first, please be sure to check out the Daily Hope website. It's rickwarren.org. When you log on today, you can get today's entire message. You can get message notes, social media links, and sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope devotional. So log on now at rickwarren.org. Also, we want to let you know about a special gift we have to say thanks for your donation to support this Daily Hope broadcast. It's a very powerful book by the late Chuck Colson called The Good Life. As Pastor Rick shares in the foreword of this helpful book, Chuck really was relentless in his pursuit of truth in every area of life. And Chuck Colson brings this passion to bear in The Good Life as he helps you answer hard existential questions like, is there truth? Is it knowable? What difference does it make? And what does it mean to have a good life? Chuck asks and answers these questions in a way that can literally change your life and the lives of those around you. The Good Life is our gift to thank you for your donation of support to this Daily Hope broadcast. So please request your copy when you call us today. 1-800-600-5004. And if you can, please consider giving a little more today to help this program in your area. We are 100% supported by listeners like you, so we really appreciate your gifts and your prayers. We appreciate your calls, your emails, your testimonies, and so much more. And we would love the chance to pray for you too, so please give us a call today at 1-800-600-5004. And now here's Rick Warren with a closing thought.
What do you say to the person who says, I don't believe in God and I don't believe in the Bible? Well, you encourage them to look at nature. You say, nature? Yes, nature. The Bible says that we can learn a lot about God simply by looking at His creation. By looking at creation, we learn about the Creator. Romans 1:20 tells us this. It says, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, His divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. In other words, you can learn a lot about God simply by taking a walk. For instance, when I look at nature, the first thing I see is that God likes variety. Have you noticed that? God loves diversity. He doesn't want anything to look like anything else. Everything is different. God has never made two snowflakes alike. He's never made two flowers alike. Man makes clones. God only makes originals. He breaks the mold. He only made you, and there's nobody like you in the world. God loves variety. We learn that simply from nature. Another thing we learn about the nature of God from nature is that God is powerful. You ever looked at a volcano? Only a powerful God could create such powerful forces. Nature also tells us that God is creative. Our Creator is exquisitely creative. Look at how the leaves change, how they glow with color in the fall. Look at the beauty of a butterfly's wings. I've driven through the painted desert dozens of times, and I'm aware of God's creativity. I've done scuba diving, and you see things that most human beings will never see, and they're full of color under the water, simply for God's enjoyment. God is creative. God loves beauty. You know what else I learned about God and nature? He's organized. The whole earth is an ecosystem. In fact, Einstein said, science is just thinking God's thoughts after him. Science just discovers what God already knows. And what God already knows is that he designed everything to be in balance with each other. And when one thing gets out of balance, the whole ecosystem is out of whack. It's out of order. Romans 1:19 says this, the basic reality of God is plain enough. Open your eyes and there it is. So even for the person who doesn't believe the Bible, the evidence of God is all around us. Where you have creation, there has to be a creator. Now here's my assignment for you this week. I want you to simply open your eyes. Begin to look at nature from God's point of view. Begin to look at the evidence for the creator in creation. See what all around you teaches us about the nature and character of God. I'm Rick. And I hope you'll join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope. Oh, and by the way, happy 4th of July.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and listeners like you.